You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall, full house here this week to preview the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship and the Career Builder Challenge on the PGA Tour. Good to have you with us. First of all, a warm welcome to Mike Grenham. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello, David.
And hello, other David on the other side of me.
Hello, David.
We've got two events, good events to look forward to this week. We'll start with, as we always do, a reflection on last week's events. And Mike, Justin Thomas is playing pretty good golf at the moment.
Yeah, that was an outstanding performance, wasn't it, Dave? A record performance from Thomas, who built on the previous week, so fair play to him. He's wouldn't mind being his agent.
Shot of 59 in the process, winning back to back in Hawaii.
They're 10 a penny now, though. Everyone's doing that.
Well, I've got written down here.
57 is the new 59.
There's got to be an asterisk next to a 59 on a par 70 golf course, Dave. I'm not having that as a genuine 59.
Harsh.
Very harsh.
I think we kind of half knew he would win, didn't we, last week? And we were sort of saying he could just do this again quite easily, and he did.
Yeah.
So it was a bit frustrating to...
You half knew he could win. Did you tip him?
No, we looked at him in kind of like...
I didn't. I didn't even have him on my mind, in all honesty.
No. We priced him up, didn't we, for a cross-Atlantic double.
Yeah.
With Brandon Stone, and talked quite well of him. But yeah, he seems to have absolutely leapt on a bit, doesn't he? Seems to be I think it's a trend now in golf that players win a load in bunches.
Yeah. Get hot for a while and then... Cool,
you know, slightly. Alex Noren last year, we saw it with Jason Day back a while ago, Spieth.
If you can tell us who's going to win this week then, Dave, and then
that'll be handy,
we'll be able to get on him for the next few weeks.
Graham Storm.
Yeah, well, that was a big shot, wasn't it?
That was a great performance.
Unbelievable performance. Yeah. To beat Rory McIlroy, even though he was suffering with that injury, and that's forced him to withdraw this week, but beating him after a three-hole playoff in South Africa, and in October, back in October... Graham Storm, he thought he'd lost his tour card, didn't he, with that final hole bogey in the Algarve and in the Portugal Masters. Thought he'd lost it by, I think, 100 euros at the time. Mm. And to come back and win, the pressure off, the pressure relieved, and he produced an amazing performance, Dave.
Yeah, one of those ones you can track it back and think, oh, well, maybe that played a big part. But just knowing, think about that at the time, how many others are like that, but... Yeah, he's had a sort of good career, hasn't he? Graham Storm pops up every now and again and does well, but I don't think anyone backed him last week, did they?
I don't think so.
But it must be, Dave, you say the pressure's off, but really it's not, is it? He kept his card brilliant, but pressure's on to make your card this year, isn't it? And now he's done the job straight away, which is amazing, isn't it? You know, you're going to have doubts, aren't you, when you're 100 euros. It was on him, kept his card by 100 euros, didn't he?
And it was only because, well, he lost it, but because Patrick Reed had to give up his membership.
Is that what it was?
So they put him back in, and then I think they gave Patrick Reed his membership anyway.
Right.
So
unbelievable then.
Yeah.
He's a lucky boy.
He's a lucky boy.
Did he earn it at the weekend? I thought he did really well.
Yeah. Let's get stuck into this week then. We'll start with the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship on the European Tour. And Dustin Johnson is the 6-1 favourite here with William Hill. 7-1 for Henrik Stenson. Ricky Fowler is 12-1. Alex Noren and Thomas Peters, both 20s. Rafa Cabrera-Bello and Tyrrell Hatton, both 25-1. 28-1 for Bernd Wiesberger, Brandon Grace, Benny Arn, Joost Lauten, Martin Keimer and Matthew Fitzpatrick. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. And this is the 12th edition of the tournament. And last year, Ricky Fowler beat Thomas Peters to the title by one shot. And this event really served as a precursor for what was to come for Peters, who won on tour and eventually made the Ryder Cup team for Europe as well. The course itself measures 7,583 yards and plays to a par of 72. Mike, the withdrawal of Rory McIlroy has had, as you would expect, an adverse effect on the prices. And we were talking about this out in the office, how it's different from every other sport, isn't it? That if you backed a player that wasn't Rory McIlroy before he withdrew, you still get that price.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no rule four, is there? Which is a bit, that's one good thing about golf, but in the fact there's 155 people to beat is probably the trickier thing. But yeah, no rule four. You've got 20% of the market or thereabouts flying out there, and if you're on beforehand on someone at a juicy price, you've got a little bit of little bit on your side, haven't you?
You have.
Which is, that's the way it goes.
If we'd recorded this yesterday, Dave, all those prices on some of, maybe if you wanted to oppose Rory McIlroy, those prices would have been bigger. They've been cut subsequently.
My man's 5 points shorter because of that, yeah.
Would you have wanted to back McIlroy this week, or would the doubt about having the MRI scan on his back anyway have been enough to put you off? Are you a bit disappointed he's not in the field, Dave, I suppose is the question?
Only because it's Rory McIlroy and he would have played well and it would have been fun to watch him. But yeah, with the half a bad back or back trouble, I wouldn't have been on him this week. Had he not had the back trouble, I would have been on him probably, because he just comes second there every year, doesn't he? And I think having had the run in South Africa beforehand, which is different, normally this is his first event, I think that would have got him kind of match fit, match sharp.
Has he got a back injury as well? Because it's a rib that's...
Yeah, he thought it was a back problem, and then he went for an MRI on his back and they discovered the rib issue.
They discovered his rib?
They thought, there's a rib there. I didn't think that was that. No, they discovered that he'd fractured one of his ribs, so he thought it was a back problem, but it was actually a rib issue.
Do we know how long he might be out for?
He's not said, has he, at all. He was kind of vague when asked that question about the how long it was going to affect him. He didn't say. So, no, at the moment, it's undetermined. I don't think he wasn't particularly... He said he wasn't going to he would sacrifice long-term for short-term gain, yeah. Basically. That was one of his quotes. What are you looking for statistically in this event then, Mike?
Just someone who hits the greens with constant regularity. I think David gives himself chances to birdie. There's a mixed evidence as to whether accuracy or driving distance is more beneficial off the tee. You get it's very hard to pin one down as being especially more important than others. It seems to vary from year to year. So I'm just looking for a good player who's played well here before. So I think that is important here. That'd be my main criteria, I think.
And desert form does tend to correlate, doesn't it, Dave, as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You often see players who've played well in the Dubai Desert Classic do well here. I mean, both. Sometimes it's a bit confusing. If you don't know that region, the United Arab Emirates is Dubai and Abu Dhabi, so they are in the same sort of area, closer than you might think. You might think, oh, is that bit over there, that bit over there? But those two correlate better than Qatar, which is kind of the middle of those three on the desert swing. Mm. So anyone with good form in Dubai, or even the season end of the DP World Tour Championship, good form there tends to correlate again as well.
Picks then, chaps. Have you got a pick, Mike?
I've got a pick.
I've not got a pick in this event.
Well, I'm going to go with two picks then.
Okay.
You go first.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, we've touched on him, Thomas Peters. You said in the intro that he played fantastic in the Ryder Cup, was top point scorer there. And I think after that, we expected him to sort of come out and win everything ever. But maybe it just took him a little while to come down and process all that. But I think now he's back in a big, big event. You know, even like Johnson and Fowler, they'll just give him that kind of Ryder Cup vibe in his head again, that I'm in the big time. And then Mike just touched on their course form is important. Well, this is the event where he kind of came of age, isn't it? Thomas Peters was tied fourth in his rookie season a couple of years ago, then was runner-up last year to Ricky Fowler, runner-up by a shot. So clearly this is absolutely up his street. Likes to bomb it here, puts well on his immaculate greens. I just think he's won three times on the European Tour, which is great, but they are lower-grade events. I just think he's ready now to step up and win like a biggie like this, so he's going to be my headline pick at 20-1.
Peter's 20-1 for Dave, Mike.
Well, you like this fella as well, don't you?
Yep.
So you can join in if you want, but Benny Arn is my pick here, and I know that we talked about this prior to the podcast. 12th and 5th here the last 2 years, loves the desert, good finish in the Dubai Desert Classic last year as well. 13th on tour in greens in reg, which I think it could be important this week. He's a very good greens in regulation man. In good form with a 10th in Turkey and then a 13th in the end of season Dubai event here in this part of the world, should I say. Yeah, he was 33-1. He's now 28. But I think this is a player of some potential and loves the course. I think he'll go very well this week. I think he's a really strong bet to be in the places.
Yeah, 28-1, Benny Arn this week.
You agree, Dave, don't you?
I do agree. I like him a lot. And if you include his Challenge Tour performances, he's played 8 times in the United Arab Emirates and finished inside the top 20 every single time. He's also placed in 4 of his 8 starts in the UAE as well, which is an incredible record. So if you're looking for desert rats, as we call them, Benny Arn is the one this week, and he's 28-1. I think each way, that's a good pick.
I like him each way. There's some quality at the top of the market. Let's not be complacent about it, but I think a place is well within his remit. And if he gets there, then crack on for the win, Benny. Crack on.
28-1, Benny Arn. Your second pick, Dave?
Another desert rat. Which desert rat will it be?
Tyrrell Hatton?
Yes, well done.
Yep.
Yeah, he is absolutely deserving of that title. I think if you add in the Challenge Tour Grand Final that was played in that part of the world, he's got 6 top tens in 10 starts in the United Arab Emirates. Most recently we saw him, I think you were on him, Mike, weren't you?
I was on him. Yeah, should have won.
DP World Tour Championship. Lost that by a shot. Looked to have it in his hands, didn't he, at one point?
Yes, he did.
But it was another massive performance out there in the UAE from Tyrrell Hatton. And it would have been the second massive win that he'd scored at the back end of 2016. He made the big breakthrough with the win at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Well, I think you tipped him, Dave.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was a good week.
So he is a friend of the podcast.
He's a friend of the podcast. Yeah.
He was 40-1, I think, the week. So second was all right in that, but he should have won that, shouldn't he?
He should have done, yeah. But here he is again, back in the desert. In this particular event, we're sort of saying he's done well in other surrounding events, but in this particular event, he's got a 10th and a 6th. So he does play this course really well. And he must have a bag of confidence from last year, as well as what I've just said. He was 5th and 10th in the last 2 majors. So serious, serious player, Tyrrell Hatton. You kind of look at 25s and somehow you're used to him being a bit bigger than that. But I think you've got to accept that kind of price on him with no Rory. So,
and I think you've made mention of those major championship performances. Once you're contending in major or inside the top 10 in major championships, even if you're not contending, that's going to affect your price in lesser events.
Yeah. So he's going to be my second pick at 25-1.
He was very close for me as well.
Yeah, I've got him.
I batted him last time.
I've got him written down. Another couple that I do like, Martin Kaymer.
Yeah.
I think you've got to give him a mention this week. Still,
what's
the most
he ever done here?
Yeah, precisely.
Lost a 10-shot lead. That's true,
and that might have affected him subsequently because he's not won since then, has he? On any tour, I don't think. He has won at this course 3 times, though.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he loves it. And even though they made changes, didn't they, to the course a few years ago, and he's come out and said, even though he'd won 3 times before they made the changes, the changes have enhanced the quality of the golf course. So it takes something to say that when you've been dominating a place like he has. But he showed some real spark when the pressure was off in the final couple of rounds in the DP World Tour Championship. If there's one man that's going to be looking to gain revenge over a golf course, it's Martin Kaymer, and he's so strong mentally. I reckon he'll have a big week this week. And I think 28-1's... I think it's pretty fair, actually.
It is very fair. He loves this place, doesn't he? And yeah, he was third a couple of years ago, wasn't he, as you say. So
you can look at that, the fact that he was 10 shots clear. You could look at it at that, couldn't you, and think, well,
as a positive rather than a negative.
Yeah. 75 he shot, didn't he, in that final round, which just dropped him back. He was only 2 shots behind, even with all of that, wasn't it, at the end? So it wasn't it's Gary Stahl who won that year. But I get that one, Dave. I think he could run very well, couldn't he?
And even with how dominant he's been at the golf course in the past, he, even that 75 there on Sunday, he won shot 74 here and won in a winning year as well. He can blitz a field in this event. So, I think 28-1, Martin Kaymer.
Yeah, very interesting.
It's a good price.
Alex Noren has just been in phenomenal form and is still at 20-1. He continues winning. He won't be 20-1 in many events. I couldn't back him this week, though, because of his course form.
Yeah.
But he's playing that well. I wouldn't rule him out anywhere at the moment, personally. I just think Noren's a very, very good player. And it's still a little bit underrated for my money. I'd have my eye on him a little bit. Jos Lauten's an interesting one, isn't he?
That's a good form.
Loads of good form here. And as a bit of a bigger outsider, but not as big as I thought. Peter Hansen plays pretty well here as well, but I can't see him winning.
80-1, Peter Hansen. Any others you want to mention before we move on?
George Coetzee at 100-1 has got some good course form. And he missed the cut in South Africa last week, which you think, well, if he can't even make the cut in his home open. But he'd missed the cut twice previously there in two attempts at Glendower.
Yeah.
So I just think that was a bad course for him. This is a good course for him. Played well in the desert before.
100-1. Any mention of the, just before we move on, Dustin Johnson, Henrik Stenson, Ricky Fowler, not talked about
should,
those three at the top
talk
of the betting.
About them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very strong. Can't think why Dustin Johnson's there. Other than the massive in pay packet that he's getting without even having hit a shot. Well, that's a really strong top of the market. Not quite as strong as it was, obviously, because of Rory's withdrawal. But with even those three that are left, that is a quality field at the top, isn't it? And of those three, I think Stenson for me.
Dustin Johnson for me. I think he'll take to this place like a duck to water. I think he'll absolutely love it.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson for me. He does. I mean, I know he will have been nicely reimbursed for turning up, but he does.
He has been.
He does travel well, doesn't he? More than so than other American golfers.
First class
he does,
normally, yeah.
He does get around the globe. And he's won in China, so he can go to far off lands and win.
Yeah, 6-1, Dustin Johnson, Stenson, 7, Ricky Fowler, 12.
I'm not backing any of them, by the way, because
no.
They're too short,
yeah.
To be fair, having said all of that. But you have to respect them. And Fowler, of course, won. We're dismissing him, and he won here last year, didn't he? So it's a really good field.
It's a great event, isn't it? Really, yeah. One of the best early season events, definitely on the European Tour. Let's move on to the PGA event then. This is the Career Builder Challenge, has been known as the Bob Hope in the past and the Humana in recent years as well. And Patrick Reed is the 16-1 favourite here with William Hill. Bill Haas is 18-1. Phil Mickelson is 20s. It's 25-1. Charles Howell, Emiliano Grillo, Francesco Molinari, Jamie Lovemark and John Rahm. 28-1, Paul Casey and Zach Johnson. And 33-1 and bigger the rest. And for the first time last year, we had a new course on the rotation with the TPC Stadium course at PGA West hosting, and it was the tougher of the three tracks. Courtesy of Rob Bolton's power rankings, the averages for last year, the stadium course played to an average of 70.818. La Quinta played to 69.148, and the tournament course was a pushover for these top players, averaging 68.936. And surprisingly, rain is forecast this week out in the desert, which
is
might
it
make...
Really?
Yeah, it is, yeah, all 4 days, I think.
Wow.
Which might make scoring even easier if it softens up the golf course. And Jason Duffner won last year, got the putter going, hit a lot of greens, made plenty of birdies. And Mike, if you're looking for stats, birdie average and par 5 scoring, pretty key around these three courses.
Absolutely, Dave. I don't think you need necessarily to be a big hitter here. There's been some quite shorties of one, haven't there? You like some Mark Wilson and what have you. Yeah, I think it's, as you describe, you've nailed the main attributes. You'd be expecting a score in the region of well under 20, wouldn't you, I think. And for that reason, I mark this down as a putting contest.
Which are your favourites, aren't they, Mike, those?
Oh, yeah.
Dave, what are you looking for this week?
Yeah, like Mike said, I wouldn't be rushing to back anyone at a short price because someone just gets hot anywhere down that field at 100-1 or whatever. And I think Duffner was 50s when he won it last year, and he'd come in off a tied ninth in the Sony Open, so current form may be quite important as well.
Mm. I've just got the one pick. Dave Tindall?
I can't pull the trigger on any of them. I don't like the prices.
I'm with you. I'm going to sit it out, maybe have a little bet in running. We'll see. But it's, I don't like these putting contests.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going with Adam Hadwin as my sole selection here at 66-1.
Yes, I'm happy because I like him. But
yeah, it's on the lower end of the spectrum, yes, as far as the price, okay, is concerned, definitely. But he really struck the ball well in his last start in the OHL Classic in Mexico. Finished 10th in the event, but ranked 3rd in greens in regulation. And this setup on these three courses seems to be perfect for him. Showcased that last year when he finished 6th. Only a closing round of 72 derailed his title challenge. And he can make plenty of birdies as well. Ranked 17th in birdie average on the tour last season. Just has all the attributes to be successful around these three desert courses. And 66-1 is okay. And I'll take it. 66-1 a point each way.
Yeah, just to add a bit of detail because I looked at him quite closely. He was actually tied for the lead with 9 to play last year. So the tied 6 maybe looks worse than it was. It was a you know, he was in with a big chance.
Weirdly, there were a few that fell away.
So went backwards.
Quite a few of the young guns that maybe hadn't had the prerequisite experience of contending for a title dropped away in that final round.
So that should help him. But if you're worried that that suggests, you know, he doesn't like the stadium course, he shot the best round there in round one, 66. Then he actually played Q School there as well in 2012.
Right.
And shot 68 on that course as well in round three and six. So it's a course he does do well on. He won a Canadian Tour event nearby, Bermuda Dunes. So there's lots of little bits, I think, that lead to Adam Hadwin. And, yeah, he could be ready to win. So I'm glad you've put him up.
Oh, good. 66-1. I'll play my point each way. Adam Hadwin. Mike, mention a few players that were close for you.
Well, Bill Haas is someone that I always like at courses. That he's a bit of a course specialist, isn't he, Bill Haas? He tends to do well at the same places. He's likes familiarity, I guess. But 18-1 is just a little bit short on Brave Bill, so I could leave him out on that equation. Oh, really, as I say, there weren't many more that tempted me. I guess John Rahm will get a mention somewhere. He's looks an interesting player. Russell Henley has had a number of picks over the years from myself and other people on this podcast. But I just want to see him. I'm just slightly worried about his resolve under the gun after a couple of things I've seen in recent times.
Okay.
But Russell Henley could go well, but 33s doesn't tempt me. And so no, I'm happy to leave this event. Have my massive bet on Benny Ann in the other one.
John Rahm, definitely a mention for me. He is only 25-1, which
is
maybe...
You're going to mention him, are you?
A little bit skinny. I've got him down here,
I thought you would.
He finished 15th in the Safeway, 15th
in the Shriners. You know, when I said that, and you looked at me like you'd never heard his name.
I do apologise.
Yeah, I was thinking... I thought you might have thought.
I'd glazed over at that
30
point.
30 seconds later, you...
He's going to get a mention... from me every time he appears.
I was on
the
safe
list.
Ground, I thought.
You were on safe ground, no. Definitely.
Rapport, no.
He's got form in the desert as well, hasn't he? His best, one of his best performances came in Phoenix when no one had, or very few
does
people
go,
had heard of
go
him.
Does he go to Arizona State, does
yeah.
he?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's desert, all that desert stuff.
He's played a lot of golf in the desert, finished fifth in that event in Phoenix in 2015, and you want someone that's going to make a ton of birdies this week.
I thought you'd have picked him.
He's the man.
Fair,
yeah. Just a little bit too short at 25-1.
Yeah, I get that.
So I've gone for someone a little bit bigger at 66-1. There's a few players around that mark, Dave. Jamie Lovemark, for instance.
Jamie Lovemark around the mark.
No pun intended there.
I think you did intend it, to be fair.
He's 25-1.
And, that's short, isn't it?
Yeah, he comes into this on the back of that sixth and the fourth and finished sixth last year as well in this event. But he's a little bit short.
Oh, it's short, isn't it? Yeah, his chance is obvious.
Yeah.
You know, he'd look at the form figures, but 25-1. Mm.
What about Shay Reavy?
Do you call him Shay?
Don't know.
Chez Reavy.
Yeah. I always want to make a joke about it being Don Reavy's house.
He's leading us in.
Yeah, well.
50-1.
I mean, we talk about needing to shoot birdies and hot putters. Well, he's shot 61 in two of his last three tournaments.
Has he really? Yeah. I remember the 61 last week.
Yeah, he's shot, I think it was in Vegas, the other one. So he is making tons of birdies. I mean, he shot a 28 on his opening nine in the final round last week. Ended up with a 61. But he has got a couple of 61s, tied fourth and tied eighth, I think, his last two actual finishes. And he was top 20 in this last year as well, so we can play the course. But 50s, some. Yeah.
What about the price for Charles Howell, 25-1?
Yeah.
That regular winning machine.
Yeah, well, he's there at 25-1 because he's got a good chance of placing, hasn't he?
He's a top 10, top 20 machine, isn't he? But
look at his price there in the top 10. It's not nice.
No,
it's 19-10 or something.
To finish in the top 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrong tournament.
No, wrong tournament. There we go.
We shouldn't really be mocking him because
he hasn't won since 2007. So
25-1 in a decent field does not appeal massively.
Yeah, he's in there at 19-10 to finish in the top 10.
But that top 10, you know, I wouldn't take that price necessarily, but be absolutely no surprise to see him in the top 10, would it?
Not at all.
Great at that.
Yeah, especially tied events ninth. Where he just repeats.
Specifically tied ninth.
Yeah. Yeah. He's made a lot of money out of it, so I aren't knocking him.
No.
And he can laugh about it as well, can't he? I've seen...
Yeah, I heard his podcast. Yeah, he was on the No Laying Up podcast, wasn't he?
Yes.
At the end of the season, and he's got such a wonderful personality, and he doesn't mind.
No.
Doesn't take himself seriously
Which
at all.
Which is fantastic.
And when you've made $50 million...
Who cares?
Just playing golf.
Yeah.
He's not going to be that upset about not winning loads of tournaments. Nothing to worry about at all for him.
He's still won twice, hasn't he? If he retires, he's a two-time PGA Tour winner with a lot of money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fair play to him. And you know, let's be clear, winning on the PGA Tour is hard, isn't it? There's just
Well, like you said at the top of the podcast, there's 156 men to beat each and every week.
Yeah, and I don't know what you guys think, but I think the US Tour, most of those people can win. European Tour, maybe there isn't quite as many who can win every week, but on this tour, they're all like, they're very competitive, aren't they? And this isn't the best field of the year, but you've got a lot of guys who can win.
Mm.
It's a hard thing to do, and he's done it twice, so... Well done, Charles.
One man that I thought you'd mention, Mike, definitely. I've got him written down as a possible this week. Cameron Smith.
I'm keeping him under my hat. I want to keep quiet about him. I know when he's going to win. So.
80-1 he is.
Yeah.
I was tempted to go for him, but I think that he dropped away in the Sony Open last week. He was right up there late on in the third round, dropped away. So I think he finished mid-20s in the end.
He did, yeah.
So hiding his light under a bushel, slightly.
Yeah, but just kind of unearthed it.
I've unearthed it. I do apologise, but... And that's what we're here to do, isn't it? To a certain extent.
It is, I suppose, yeah.
I just thought a tougher track might suit him.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's... there's no genius being applied here. You've nailed it straight away, Dave. This is probably too much of a birdie fest for him, isn't it? But I've got a couple of tough tracks in mind where I think he might play in there. It could be very interesting because I think he's a really good player.
Do you like him, Dave? Cameron Smith?
You've got to pick your moment for him.
Yes,
Luke List, I like here as well, but again, he's short, isn't it? 40s for a non-winner.
He's playing incredible golf, isn't he? You talk about Justin Thomas being the hot hand on tour. He's finished top 15 last five starts.
Yeah, which is good, but it's a hot hand, but not a very hot hand.
Yeah, it's a warm hand, isn't it?
If I was to have a really speculative outsider, a much bigger price... I don't even know what price he is, but he's just been playing so poorly. But if his putting gets going, Jonas Blixt is someone that could just surprise somewhere like this. He's better than what price?
Let me find his price here. He's 250-1.
Wow.
He's a player who can win out of nowhere, isn't he?
Yeah. PGA Tour winner as well.
And his putting's great when he's on. Now he's bang out of form, but yeah, I might just have a little bet on him just in case. Somewhere down the line he'll bounce back to form. Will Jonas.
Very good, very good. Who's the player you don't want to win this week before we recap the selections? Mike?
Well, Tyrrell Hatton was very near to being a selection for me, but I'll cheer him on for Dave. So I don't have anyone I want to win. I'm going to be sporting this week.
I'm going with Martin Keimer. I think he came closest for me in the European Tour event.
Russell
definitely.
Henley then, all right.
Russell
just
Henley. Dave?
There's a few at kind of that middling price in... Abu Dhabi, Benny Arn, but you like him, so I don't really want to put down on him.
Mike's gone for him.
Wiesberger.
Was he not listening earlier?
I was pointing at you. my hand was off kilter. Bernd Wiesberger, you could see him being right in there as well.
Yeah.
Loughton as well.
Yeah.
Loughton, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's recap the selections for this week. Start with the Abu Dhabi Championship, Mike.
Benny Arn for me, Dave, a point each way up. 28.
Yeah, and Dave?
Yeah, a point and a half each way, Thomas Peters at 20s, and a point each way, Tyrrell Hatton at 25s.
And just the one pick in the Career Builder Challenge for us this week, and that's Adam Hadwin, a point each way at 66-1. And that wraps up the
podcast.
Good,
isn't it? Yeah, and the Champions Tour's back as well. There's an event on the Champions Tour which sees the... I think it's the debut of David Toms this week. So.
Right.
I was going to say, is there any new 50-somethings?
David Toms is playing this week. He's quite short, actually. It's a good field.
It's not his fault.
No. I think he's about 7 or 8 to 1.
8 to 1, yeah.
Yeah, but you've got a good field there. Langer, Toms, Jimenez, Monty. Yeah, VJ.
Yeah.
Couples. You know, there's some real quality on there. And Steve Stricker, I'm awaiting his... entry onto the Champions Tour. He'll be short, though, I think, in a lot of the events, but he could really...
He'll go straight in his favourite, won't he, over Langer?
He should do.
You'd think.
Mm. Who's Doug Garwood?
He's a staple of the Senior Tour, played very well last year. I think he might have got a win last year. yeah, he's all right. It's a good start, the Mitsubishi Electric Championship. So I'll be watching a bit of that and trying to have a better year on the Champions Tour than I did last year. So, but Tom's a bit disappointed he's that short, to be honest, because he should be really competitive. You know, if you can put on the Champions Tour, you're in with a good chance.
Yeah.
Course is a bit shorter.
Will he be tweeting a pick out, perhaps?
Possibly, yes, Dave. Not definitely, but I'll definitely be looking at it. So, yeah, chomping at the bit to get into a bit of that action this year.
You'll field a few questions as well, won't you? I know people like to pick your brain about the Champions Tour.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Well, they wouldn't have been picking many successful ones last year. It was a struggle last year, having had a really good run at it. But, 2017's the year.
It is. If you want to follow Mike on Twitter, at M Grenham, you can follow Dave Tindall, at Dave Tindall Golf. You can follow myself, at D Kellner. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. You can download this via iTunes. Check us out at audioboom.com as well. Type in William Hill. And if you're having a bet on the Abu Dhabi Championship or the Career Builder Challenge, the very best of luck. We'll speak again next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey! Go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.